Governor Evers' task force on broadband internet is calling for more funding for a state grant program meant to expand high-speed web access. Wisconsin has allocated about $60 million for high-speed internet over the last 2 years. During a visit to La Crosse last week, President Biden also talked about broadband internet as a key part of his infrastructure plan.
This deal will also help high-speed internet and make sure it's available to every American home, including 35% of rural families who currently go without it.
Here in Wisconsin, it's estimated that as many as 25% of the rural population lacks access to a high-speed connection. And in some cases, people can't afford the service even if it's available. We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. Are you still in need of a high-speed internet connection in your area? What options do you have for internet? If you run a business online or attend school virtually, could you do it without broadband? Do you think grants and incentives from the state are a good way to extend coverage? What would you like to see in terms of high-speed internet in your area? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Rick Barrett is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering this issue in the Journal Sentinel series called Disconnected. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, JC.
So let's start out by understanding the technical side of broadband. Can you remind us what distinguishes it from older connections and what that means in practical terms for the speeds people can actually get online?
Sure. In technical terms, broadband is defined by the Federal Communications Commission as a download speed of 25 megabits per second and uploads of 3 megabit per second. And what that means, you know, for most folks is that if you're an individual, you're working from home, you're taking an online class, those speeds are probably sufficient. 25 megabits per second download, again, and 3 megabit per second uploads, you can do those things pretty well. However, if you're a family and you've got, you know, you're online, your spouse is online, your kids are online, you're all trying to do things during the day or the evening, those speeds are going to struggle and you're going to have some issues. Now, for the folks who don't have true broadband speed, if it's less than 25.3, and there's a lot of that in Wisconsin, for them, it's going to be very difficult for things like posting a video to on a website. Even doing video conferences and such can really be a challenge at some of the slower speeds.
Yeah, and actually, in reading your article, there's a visual in the article that shows you what it looks like when you're looking at the varying speeds. You know, broadband that most people are, I want to say most people in rural areas that have, not rural, urban areas that have access to it, and you go through three speeds, and it shows how slowly you might see YouTube load in rural areas. And I was sitting there getting really frustrated on behalf of our friends and neighbors in rural areas. It was really, really slow. You know, what do you think it means for, I mean, we'll talk about the economic impact, but just knowing that there are areas in the state where people don't have access to this, does it feel like the people living there feel like they're getting left behind in some ways?
Yeah, I think they do feel like they're left behind somewhat, JC. I mean, if you're trying to, you know, work from home, especially, in some cases you just can't do it. I mean, I've talked with people who actually are renting an office in a smaller town somewhere nearby so they can drive there every day to work because, you know, they can't work from home. They're just unable to upload the materials they need. They're unable to do those video conferences. And so they'll rent a space in town and go online that way. For students, it's been a huge problem in some areas. You know, we've talked to school districts where one in four of the families, you know, can't even get online. They don't have home internet access. And some school districts, it's as high as you know, 50% of the students just don't have access. And those kids are really hurting, you know, in terms of being able to keep up with their schoolwork.
I mean, 50%, that's not nothing. It's not like it's 5%. It's 50%, if I'm hearing you correctly, right?
Yeah, that's probably just a handful of places. But, you know, for those communities, you know, the kids are definitely struggling.
All right. We are talking to Rick Barrett right now. He's a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering the lack of access to high-speed internet throughout Wisconsin, but especially in rural areas. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a series called Disconnected, and I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Jeff in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for bringing up this topic. I've been I don't want to say harassing, but I have definitely, every time I saw Congressman Duffy and every time I see Congressman Tiffany, the entire 7th Congressional District up here is totally being neglected. The internet has been with us for 20 years, and this is why I think Biden is going about it the wrong way. If the federal government wants to be effective and provide internet access to every American, they should be going through congressional districts, not through state government. And the reason I say this is state government drags their feet. It's about money with the state, and every state employee thinks they are privileged because they are employed by the state, by their fellow you know, citizens. So you got to go federal with this to get it effective and get it done quickly. The state government is going to drag its feet like they've proven in the past. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you so much for that call. So Jeff is saying that basically at this point, we need to have the federal government take care of it, go through congressional districts and not, you know, allocate or delegate to state governments. Have you heard similar cases or calls for that at all, Rick?
Well, there's already a lot of federal money that comes into Wisconsin for broadband expansion. There's the Connect America Fund grants, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund that's been launched. Lots and lots of federal money has flowed into the state. So, you know, and it's with mixed results. I mean, there are some places where the grant recipients only had to offer, you know, 10 megabits per second downloads, 1 megabit per second uploads. Not even half the FCC's definition of broadband that was set 6 years ago. So I guess I would say that the federal money has come into the state. Some of it has done some good, but as Jeff said, a lot of people are really frustrated, you know, whether it's with the state grants or the federal grants. I think there's room for a lot of improvement.
And so this calls to mind something that you did write about in your article, which is that, you know, there was a project, a huge infrastructure project in the 30s that brought electricity to rural areas. You know, can you talk a little bit about that and really what it did for these areas?
Sure. A lot of people have drawn comparisons with the Rural Electrification Act of 1936. And that was one of the most profound changes in America. I mean, that began like 85 years ago. Electricity was finally extended to the countryside. And, you know, it came as part of an economic stimulus package that Congress passed. And they really wanted to spur that development, electric power, you know, even the places that were far off the grid. I mean, it was a cornerstone of President Roosevelt's New Deal program. It allowed the federal government to make low-interest loans to farmers who had banded together to form not-for-profit electric cooperatives. And that assistance was needed because running those wires in the areas with few homes per mile wasn't profitable for the private investors. And you see a lot of parallels today because, you know, the cost of getting, you know, fiber cable to rural areas can be $20,000 to $30,000 a mile. And in sparsely populated communities, that just doesn't add up for the private investors.
We are talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Rick Barrett right now. We're looking at broadband internet gaps in Wisconsin and what high-speed internet means for those who have it, and really what it also means to those who do not have access to it. Right now, we were just talking about the cost. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What options do you have for internet in your area? Have slow internet speeds caused problems for you? Do you think broadband is something that the state and federal governments should be investing in? We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, and we will continue this conversation and hopefully hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Rick Barrett, business reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about broadband internet coverage in Wisconsin, really who has it, who doesn't, and the difference it can make in people's lives. And you can join in right now at 800-642-1234. And Rick, before the break, we were talking about the cost. And we were referencing a project in the 1930s about bringing electricity to rural areas. But looking at broadband, what kind of construction has to happen to actually bring, broadband to these communities?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it varies a lot from place to place. I mean, the perfect solution would be to have fiber cable, you know, to every single home and every single business in a rural area, because that's where you get the highest speeds, the most future-proof service, the most reliability. It's just the gold standard, and that's what a lot of communities would like to have. However, it's just not practical when you get into some of these areas where there are only a couple of people per square mile, or maybe they're more than that, but it just doesn't justify the cost. So other ways of doing it are still okay. I mean, you can use wireless technologies where they set up, you know, transmitters on towers, even put them on barn silos in tall buildings, and those will send out a signal to the surrounding area and get the internet to these homes and businesses. But even then, you know, you've got to have fiber, you know, to those locations so they have a signal to send out. It's a very costly endeavor no matter how you do it.
Yeah, and I want to actually go to a caller now who is curious to learn more or to talk about another alternative that's out there. We have Lori in Iowa County. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
And what did you want to talk about?
I am in very rural Iowa County, where there's nothing available. For many years, I had basically the data that was on my phone. So I even looked into, you know, satellite options, which were pretty pricey and not, I don't think you were going to get a very good value. Well, last fall, I signed up for Starlink. It's the Elon Musk started the company. It's the low orbit satellites, and it's amazing. The upload and download speeds are equal to what my daughters have in the cities that they live.
Lori, thank you so much for that call. So, you know, she's presenting this other alternative, which is Starlink from Elon Musk's company. That's a private company offering this service, very much the way other internet service providers are also private. What have you heard, if anything, from people in rural areas who are signing up for something like Starlink?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've talked with the beta testers for Starlink in Wisconsin, and the ones who I've spoken with have been very satisfied with it. I mean, they're just pleased because they're getting so much better service than they had before, and it's just way beyond what conventional satellite service can offer. So the good news is, you know, the download speeds are phenomenal. The upload speeds are really good. It works well in all types of weather. I mean, even during the blizzards last winter, you know, Starlink was holding pretty good. What we don't know yet is what will happen, you know, when hundreds of thousands of people eventually get on the system. Will they be able to maintain those speeds? A lot of people are saying maybe not. I mean, even now in some places where there are a lot of Starlink users, the speeds are varying quite a bit, and, you know, they tend to drop off. So I think it's still a little bit of a wait and see, but the technology definitely has a lot of promise. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's just that I think the jury is still out on some things. The other thing about that, you know, in Starlink is a great option for many people, but it's also probably too expensive for many people too. I mean, right now it's $99 a month plus $500 for the equipment. So, you know, for a lot of families, that's just out of their reach.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty hefty upfront investment, and then, you know, $100-ish a month after that, just to have access to the internet. And that's something that you also looked into, is the cost being prohibitive in many areas, even if they have access, if broadband or cable is already available. What did you find for, you know, people who might live in Milwaukee and their access to broadband?
Yeah, it's a really good question, JC, because, you know, there are lots of folks who are living in Milwaukee, they're living in Madison, they're living in Eau Claire, they're living in Stevens Point, you know, where there's plenty of service. I mean, that's not the issue. But if you can't afford it, it doesn't do you any good. I mean, people are expected to pay $40, $50, $60 a month, and they can't afford that, well, then the service might as well not even be there. There have been studies done, like from the Pew Research Center, that showed a lot of people can only afford $10, $15 a month. I mean, that's what's in their budget that they could afford. And unless you're part of some subsidized program, that's pretty hard to get.
So outside of a subsidized program, you know, access and the cost of broadband is nothing new. We've had we've talked about this a lot on our program, on other programs. This is clearly a big issue. Do you think that there's any sort of political will, maybe public-private partnership, that could maybe treat broadband like a utility versus what sometimes feels like, you know, something that some people have and some people don't have?
Yeah, again, that's a very good point. I mean, some people already have said, and I think they've made a very strong case, that broadband should be treated as a utility. You know, it's just like electricity. It's just like water. It's just like, you know, having your basic utilities in your home. Broadband could be the fourth utility. But for, you know, so many folks right now, it's just too expensive. And if they could get the cost down for families, it would definitely, you know, make it so much easier for them.
So we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really quickly wanted to talk about some of the other reporting that you did about the communities or maybe even businesses that did decide, hey, we want to invest in you know, the infrastructure, get the cable lines you know, put into the ground in places that we might not think would have broadband access, places like, you know, Vilas County, pretty far up north. You know, what did you hear from these communities that did end up having access to broadband?
I think what I found in my reporting is that some communities were really aggressive about it. I mean, they pursued the state grants, they pursued the federal grants. They went after every dollar that they could get, and they were able to ramp things up, you know, in terms of the service that's available in their area. That takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And some counties, you know, it wouldn't even make a difference, because unless the broadband service provider is even interested in your area, all the pleading in the world isn't going to help.
Well, Rick, we will have to leave it there. There's still so much that we could talk about. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Rick Barrett is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us today to talk about ongoing issues faced by many Wisconsinites to get access to broadband internet. This is high-speed internet that a lot of people have come to rely on over the last year and a half during the pandemic as people moved to doing just about everything online, from schoolwork, meetings, and more. You can still join the conversation. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, and you can find a link to Rick's reporting with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's called Disconnected. That's a series. You can go to wpr.org/centraltime.